Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Utterly Unscripted. In this episode, I have a special guest who has dedicated his life to inspiring other people and transforming their lives through fitness and nutrition. I want you to join us as we dive into the extraordinary journey of Roman Fisher. He's the founder of Roman Fisher Fitness and RomanFisherOfficial.com. If that's too many fishes, I've put it into the show notes for you so you can find out what I'm talking about. From a transformative personal experience to a burning desire to make a positive impact, Roman's story is one of determination, of passion, and the relentless pursuit of a healthier world. He's already 10 steps ahead of me. I want you to get ready to be inspired as we uncover the pivotal moments that propelled Roman into the world of fitness, what his ultimate goals are, and the fulfillment that he finds in helping others achieve their own physical and mental transformations. So sit back, relax, and enjoy my conversation with Roman Fisher on this episode of Utterly Unscripted. Hey, Roman, thank you for joining us. How are you?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad that you're here. You have a pretty cool story. And again, RomanFisherOfficial.com is your website. People can go. And I think there's a picture of you there. Is that a picture of you on the website?
There is somewhere down on the bottom.
Somewhere there. Scroll down. I had a look. Introduce yourself. Tell us who you are and let our listeners get an idea of what you're about. I've obviously got like some questions. You have a story, of course, but let's hear it from you.
Yeah, definitely. So as you all know by now, my name's Roman Fisher. So I actually do acting, modeling, mainly film and voiceover acting, also fitness modeling especially. And then naturally, I also do fitness coaching. And I help people transform, especially their bodies, but also their minds as well. And I help them, become more positive and happy and just more confident and have more energy too in their day-to-day lives.
So there's a couple of questions that I have there. So your main job is acting and modeling and voiceover work, or is the fitness stuff your main gig?
Yes, definitely the fitness stuff, the acting and modeling that's one of the things I'm trying to do more of. But right now, my main gig is definitely just helping people. And honestly, I would have to say, while I do like the and even love the acting and modeling aspects of my life, I really, really enjoy especially just helping people and being that humanitarian to other people, whether I know them or not. It's really cool just like helping people transform their overall minds and bodies and just become better versions of themselves.
So how do you where do I go from here? Because I want to know a couple of things. What led you to do that? Like, what is it that has inspired? You'd have to be inspired to be doing what you're doing. So what is it that inspired you
to sort of
take that path in life?
For sure. Yeah. So honestly, when I was younger, I was always that skinny kid that people would just, poke fun at, make fun of, and laugh at. So I was always that kid, in the hallways people would look at and, look down on. And so really just that definitely took a toll on me emotionally, and it definitely affected my state and how I felt just overall with my, inner self-confidence. So between that and not wanting to continue that same, having that same persona in front of other people. Mm. And then also there were a couple other factors that really did it for me too, that drove me into the realm of health and fitness. It was also seeing my brother go from being, skinny himself to then seeing him work out when I was about 15 years old and seeing him transform his body, gain strength and especially muscle. And just seeing that transformation over the course of several weeks, that inspired me immensely. And then from there, seeing, and this is one of the more serious, but I would say even more of the pivotal moments and what actually really pushed me ultimately into fitness was seeing my grandpa pass away due to cancer when I was younger too, which obviously it's not easy to, have to confront or deal with for anyone And I know, you know, personally, it was not easy for me to have to, you know, deal with one bit. But after that, you know, that did something inside me mentally and emotionally. Other than, you know, being depressed and sad about the loss, that also, you know, gave me a huge fire and lit a fire inside me to not want to go down that same path. And then just knowing that and using that to my advantage in a positive way, instead of letting it get to me too much where I would overeat or starve myself, because some people, you know, do that in depression. Instead of doing that, I used it to my advantage to want to overcome, you know, that loss, to not have myself meet that same fate and other people around me not meet that same fate either.
So was your grandfather, was he unwell because of life choices? Is that how he developed his illness?
Definitely. That was a huge factor. He would never, you know, for one, he would never wear sunscreen if he was out in the sun for long hours at a time, which obviously isn't good for your skin. And then also he was highly addicted to a lot of sugar filled foods too, which that of course leads to, you know, a lot of other health problems in themselves.
Yeah, for sure. That in itself, the addiction, like the sugar addiction, I've talked about this with quite a few people. I've had quite a few people come onto the show. I personally am dealing with my own sugar addiction. So you would have seen me just before the show. Just before we started recording, I took a sip of the Powerade. This is nothing compared to what I used to drink.
That's good.
It has
though.
Sugar. Yeah. Of course it has sugar. But, you know, I was drinking maybe 3, 4, 5 Cokes a day. The bottles of Cokes, not just a can of Coke. So I've come back to it a few times because it is hard. So I get that. I get that. But also I am doing this all by myself. So what I was curious to ask you is how you change someone's mindset, because I know that Coke, and I'm talking about Coca-Cola, by the way, is highly addictive. In fact, it's disgusting. Whenever I've been drinking it, especially lately, the last few months, when I've sort of been trying to kick it, I don't even enjoy it. I'm not liking it, but I need it. And I'm grumpy and I have headaches and I feel sick and I get the shakes when I'm not having it. It's hard for me to say, I must not touch this drink. You know, and I don't know if it's maybe also a bit of caffeine addiction. It's the only caffeine that I would have. But I wonder if maybe, you know, the headaches and being over tired and things like that, maybe that's the caffeine I'm missing out on. And I don't know any better ways. But if someone's listening now and they're in a similar situation, which, you know, I hear from listeners a lot who say, a story that we've told has resonated with them, and they too are trying to give up drinking Coke, or they're trying to give up any soda. How do we change our mind? There has to be maybe is there a switch that we can flick somehow? Is there something someone can say? Because you're doing this every day.
Yeah, definitely. That's a great question, honestly. So what I would say with that, Jesse, is basically just realize that, you know, your addiction, first just realize you have it. First, analyze and realize that first before you can fix any issue or any problem, no matter, you know, the size of that problem. You always have to analyze it first and get to the root of the problem. So first, analyze, you know, the addiction that you have. From there, figure out why, you know, you got in that addiction in the first place. After that, let's say it's depression that led someone to that, you know, find some ways to cope with that depression and tackle that inner, you know, that inner illness, if you will. And yeah, just find ways to cope with that depression. Could be talking with a, you know, family friend, could be having a support system online, could be anything. Obviously working out can definitely help with that too. With the endorphins that you get from the gym. And then after analyzing that problem, and again, if it's depression, do stuff to, you know, fix it accordingly, just depending on the root cause of that addiction that you got. From there, realize you're human and that it's an, you know, it's not an overnight thing. Just like with anything, whether it's trying to, you know, gain muscle, lose weight, or anything, or just overcoming addictions like we're talking about now, you can't just do it overnight, sadly. It's a work in progress. So my my ultimate suggestion there is to just take it gradually, just go very gradually and trying to overcome that addiction and trying to get better with your health and what you're eating, what you're drinking, and even really what you're, you know, watching, what you're doing throughout your day.
I know, of course, that there's no switch that you can flick and everything is instantly made better and I don't have to drink Coke anymore, you know, because I've done this before. You know, I did it 2 years ago and I gave up drinking Cokes and I was maybe 6 months and someone begged me because after 6 months, I still was not good. You know, and I don't know whether that was maybe just the caffeine because, you know, sugar addiction, as you would know, once you kick it and you get it out of your system and you're off it, you don't keep having those withdrawals forever and ever and ever. So it's not something that just sticks around with you. So 6 months after giving up Cokes, I don't think it was the sugar withdrawals that were making me crabby. But someone just assumed it was because I hadn't had it. And so there must be something else in that. You know, maybe I was just missing having something. Maybe I was unhappy with that. But I'm back onto it again. So I'm a week in, you know, like this is a week since I once again decided that I don't like drinking it. I don't like the taste of it. So I've cut down to a lot less.
That's good.
Sugar. But now I have now I have this mental thing, and I'm sure that there's other people who are probably thinking this. In fact, I know one person for sure because they brought it up. But it made me think about it. We were talking about you, in fact, and looking at the people on your fitness site who have had their transformations. Something I think about is I've put on a lot of weight in the last 3 years from drinking Coke and from eating crap, just having a really poor diet. I've been sedentary. I had an injury, so I couldn't move very much. And that's been an issue for me too.
Yeah.
Now that I'm starting to lose weight, I am struggling with wanting to lose weight, even though how do I say this properly without sounding like an idiot? I do want to, because I've been trying. But as I do, I don't want to because I'm starting to see things like sagging skin. And that starts a new process in my mind. And I'm sure there are other people. Like, have you come across that before?
Yeah, there's definitely been at least one or two people I know specifically just recently
right.
I've been in that situation.
Yeah. So when I see that, you know, because now I've lost weight. So I've lost maybe six pounds, I think. 2, 4, 6. Yeah, it's about 6 pounds. So I'm seeing it though. I'm starting to notice it, but I'm still so sore. You know, I'm still struggling with my injury to walk too much or move too much. And I have such enormous pain and I do push through that as much as I can, but it's difficult for me. And so it's easier for me to say, oh, this is just bullshit. I'm not doing it anymore. You know, I'm just not doing it anymore. I'm going to stop right now. I just won't drink Coke. But the skin is starting to get a little bit loose and whatever. And yet I see other people who are much bigger than me and they don't have these issues. Like how is that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it can be a, you know, factor, a few things that could factor into that. I would definitely say it's usually caused by genetics, typically. Mm. That's one of the main reasons that, you know, some people can lose weight a little more or a little easier. Mm. Some people put on muscle a little easier, or some people, right. You know, maybe their skin doesn't, you know, it's not as the elasticity is not there as much when you're trying to, you know, lose that weight. So it just, it varies from person to person, and it shifts depending on the person's genetics for sure.
Right, right. So basically, because what I said to this friend was, you're just going to have to get over it. Like at the end of the day, if you really want to, and I know it's easy for me to say that because I'm thinking the same thing, you know, and I look in the mirror before I go into the shower or whatever, and I'm noticing that the skin is starting to get loose where I've had such a big tummy for such a long time. And it's only been a few years that it's been really, that it's been bad. But, you know, I look at those things and I just think, oh God, it's just, you know, I'm thinking way too far into the future about, you know, I'm going to be undesirable now. And it's already bad enough that I'm, you know, stuck in my mental place. And now I have to get out of that mental place and think about how am I going to deal with that sagging skin? You know, I want to lose 40 pounds. If I do that, I will have sagging skin at the front.
Yeah.
So there's a lack of, a lack of motivation, maybe? Is that because I don't see any results except for a few pounds here and there?
I would say it's definitely, it could be a combination of a lack of motivation and really just looking at, like you were saying, looking too far ahead into the future and seeing it more as perfection, if you will, versus or over progress. And I love this saying. This is one of the sayings I always go by. And I tell most of, if not all my clients, this, it's always progress over perfection. You know, again, nothing's overnight and nothing's truly ever going to be really perfect, but we can get as close to possible or as close to possible to perfection if we really go all in and go all out. But we have to understand that these things come in phases, especially within fitness. And there's several phases of fitness, especially when you're starting out.
Yeah. So I guess for anyone who is out there and listening, it's not about, like, stop thinking too far ahead. It's the small steps, small goals, small achievements. They all equal a greater achievement. They all equal up to bigger steps. But you have to, you know, you have to climb one step at a time, I guess, is what I'm getting from what you're saying.
Definitely. The smallest changes, even the smallest of changes, they'll actually add up to monumental changes.
Yeah. Yeah. So just stop drinking 3 Cokes a day.
Exactly.
Yeah. Stop with the 3 Cokes a day. Just have one a day. Don't have any a day. It, like, seriously, I see how bad it is. You know, I've been having it now for such a long time that, as I said, it doesn't even taste good. It used to be so refreshing. I used to really love having a Coke, and I was just like satisfied that I'd had this bottle of Coke. And then I switched from regular Coke to vanilla Coke because it was a different flavor. And now even vanilla Coke, it just tastes like cat pee. Like, it doesn't even taste good. And as I'm drinking it, I'm hating myself because I'm drinking it. And I feel the fat in my body from this Coke. And it causes inflammation. And I know all of these things, but I just have so much trouble getting off the sugar. So is there anything, what kind of changes to someone's diet? Like, can you share any specific diet changes? Someone who's trying to kick sugar, for example, because I think that's like one of the biggest addictions in the world.
Yeah, 100%.
Is sugar addiction.
Yeah, for sure. One of the best things you can do, especially within your diet and nutrition, if you're really highly addicted to sugar, what I recommend, again, is gradually weaning yourself off of it. And it's not that you have to be off all added sugar completely. I mean, you can still have some added sugar in your diet. I would recommend no more. And honestly, this is doing it in a pretty liberal sense, but I would not have any more than 36 grams of sugar, you know, in a day, every day. Okay. I would have
36 grams of sugar. Just so everyone knows, there's in one bottle of Coke, there's 65, I think it's nearly 66 grams of sugar in one 600 ml bottle of Coke.
Yeah, there's a lot of sugar. Like when when I was getting on this diet kick, if you want to call it that, I just call it a really just a lifestyle now. But when
A
I got on
change,
this
yeah.
healthy lifestyle or change, I really just saw everything that I was having before, and I was seeing the sugar content and the amount that was in, just like you were saying, just Coke, Pepsi, any soda really, and seeing how
Yeah.
that one serving was more than what you really should have in a day, in that one serving.
Yeah,
It's
in a whole
insane.
week.
Like, exactly.
And you're having your whole entire week's worth of sugar in one drink. And then that's it, though. You can't have, I apologize, everybody. My dog is barking in the background. someone has pulled up at the house. So, that is what I look at. So that is what helped me flick that switch. I looked and I look on the bottle of the bottom of the bottle or the back of the bottle, and I see 66 grams of sugar. And here in Australia they have to tell you how much that is part of your like recommended daily intake. So they say, oh, actually, do you know what? It's so much they don't even tell you on the, even even on
Oh,
this.
wow.
Yeah, so it's 35 in a Powerade. There's 35 grams of sugar. So
Wow.
I mean, that's so much they don't even tell you what the percent is of your daily intake.
Wow, that's crazy. That's nuts. Yeah,
Yeah.
they don't really do that here in the US, but they should start
Oh,
doing
don't they?
that here.
They should do that. Yeah, I've watched a
Yeah.
few really nasty videos about because there's not a lot of restrictions about the kind of stuff that they use in ingredients, the colors and the sweeteners and the whatever flavonoids are.
Oh yeah.
There's and genetically modified organisms, which we don't allow here, so
Yeah.
we're lucky in that sense. But there was one video that came up on TikTok the other day, and he was like, we are eating foods in America that are banned in the rest of the world. There's not a single other country in the world that allows this food, and this is why. And he shows the ingredients or the nutritional information or nutritional information
Yeah,
on the side of the box or whatever, and he's talking about things like genetically modified this and genetically modified that, and this E number is bad, and this BHT, if you see this, run because it causes cancer. Actually, Roman, I wanted to ask you, did you ever see the film Forks Over Knives?
I have not actually, no.
You haven't seen it? It's old now. Like, I was in the US at the time that I saw it, so it's more than 12 years ago now. But that video, when I very first saw it, it
Yeah.
basically stopped me eating everything. I didn't touch meat, I didn't touch anything processed. No sodas, no, I pretty much went raw vegan. I didn't even cook my food.
Oh, wow.
So for the longest time after. See, so back then I was wonderful. I was a wonderful weight because I wasn't having soda all the time. I wasn't eating crappy food and I wasn't eating meat. But that particular movie has scientific researchers and doctors who came on and said, and they I think some people learn visually and other people learn by being told. So if you learn visually, go and find this movie. You can find it on YouTube now. They show you an animation of what happens. This particular video is all about meat, but processed meat or, the stuff that isn't great for you that you're eating, what it does when it enters your body and is broken down by your body and how it affects different parts of your body. But I think if we all saw that when we're drinking a Coke and we visualized what was happening inside our body, you would never touch that shit ever again.
Exactly. That's another thing I would definitely recommend to anyone that's
Yeah.
struggling with, sugar addiction or any, unhealthy food addiction in
Yeah.
general.
Yeah.
Just look at those videos or infographs.
Supersize
It's
Me is another one,
crazy.
I think. Was that an American guy? I think that was, is it Supersize Me? Is that the guy who ate like the McDonald's for months
I believe so.
and documented the changes in
That's
his
what it
body? And it
sounds
was
like, yeah.
terrible. It was really bad. And there were a few, videos that are like that, and they all focus on different things. So with one of them, it was the McDonald's thing. And then for other things, it was made by somebody who is all about animal rights. And I have no problem with that, but of course it's very extreme. So go into it watching these videos with that in your mind, that they're going to be confronting. They're going to show you everything because that's the way they get their message across. But sometimes I feel like when I see how I reacted to that, it was necessary.
Right.
Like I literally dropped my chicken nugget.
Yeah.
That's a joke, of course. I wasn't eating a chicken nugget at the time. But, you know, like I looked at these things and I looked at how different emotions in the animals even affects how the meat affects us when we eat it. You know, how the meat is killed makes a difference to how we absorb that into our body. So of course you have to go in there and just, you know, have an open mind when you're looking at these videos. Don't go crazy.
Yeah.
Don't do like me. And I became a raw vegan. I was a raw vegan for like 10 months before someone said, like, please eat something real, you know, like you have to cook something, you know. And I very slowly started introducing fish and chicken and stuff like that back into my diet, but I got rid of all pork. Like I haven't touched pork in 12 years. You know, because that's just one of the worst things. Ham and turkey bacon and all this, like the amount of salt that's in. So not only will you have a sugar addiction, you'll have salt.
Exactly.
Salt will be clogging up your arteries and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be causing havoc in your body. But if you learn visually, I think that's the best way. And also don't go look at your clients because you'll just get depressed.
Yeah. Yeah. What I recommend.
Because I did
you,
look your, sorry, go on. Yeah.
What I recommend to you as a side note is anyone that, you know, has that sodium addiction, if you want to, you know, reduce that sodium intake, a good way of doing that is, especially if you get deli meat, because obviously that's where you can get a lot of salt. What I recommend, and this is a huge trick, this is actually what I do, is find a local grocery market where you can actually walk up to the deli and ask for either no salt added, or if you want a little salt, that's fine, but low sodium turkey breast or chicken breast. And that is how you do it.
That's the way to do it. I know that people in Australia, particularly, we don't have that many listeners here in Australia, but I know in Australia they'll probably find that difficult. We're not as lucky here. Like, it's very easy. I've had the advantage of living in the US, where even in the deep south in Louisiana, I know what you're talking about, and I know that it was very easy to dial up what I need. And here in Australia, we don't have that. Like, we've only just sort of entered into the Uber. You know,
like, oh wow, really?
You could get Uber Eats now. That's only within the last like 2 years. So but also going to the store and getting things, like, we're slowly evolving, but I know that people in Australia may struggle with that. We have Costco though, and they have really good low sodium options.
Awesome.
I'm part of a group on Facebook that they talk about different places you can get. So I actually wanted to talk about that because sodium. So you've got sugar, which is going to give you diabetes. And that was another thing that the doctor said, like, you're pre-diabetic. You need to stop with the sugar. Like, you're screwing up your body. And I'm only 42, so I don't need to be having these medical problems at 42. I need to be, you know, I don't look 42, apparently. So I need to sort of start acting it. Sodium gives you high blood pressure. That's your biggest thing. And it starts affecting your heart. And you don't want to be walking around at 30, 35 years old with high blood pressure and having to take a daily pill. Because let me tell you, it is the fucking pits. Like,
yeah,
I don't want to be doing it either. So that's another thing. Like, get motivated to change your life that way.
Yes.
But actually, sorry, we've been talking about all this. And I know that you're not a nutritionist or anything. So I want to just shift back. You mentioned that you were watching your brother. He was doing weightlifting and you were seeing him transforming his body. Was this the only thing that motivated you to make the change, or did you also have other health things that you were dealing with? Or was it just like your grandfather and your brother, or like, how was that?
Definitely. So it was definitely primarily my grandfather and my brother as the catalyst to push me into fitness. I will say, other than that, I was very, you know, very skinny, and I wasn't really in the best health myself. Granted, I wasn't really, you know, I wouldn't say like I had health problems or anything, luckily, you know, but I was not very healthy in how I ate, what I drank. And also too, I will say this, I was not very energetic. Like I had a lot of sluggish moments. Really? Like even though I wasn't overweight, I was very
sluggish. So you were skinny and sluggish.
Yeah, it was weird because like I was just really skinny, so you wouldn't think that I was sluggish, but not getting really proper sleep because of, you know, what I was eating and how I was eating.
Okay.
It was just, it wasn't a good combination. So while I was skinny, I didn't really sleep well because my habits, I would stay up late too, but my diet also really affected that.
But your diet can be affected. I've seen that firsthand, that your diet can be affected by your sleeping schedule as well. You know, if you stay up late, you're more inclined to snack.
Oh yeah.
You know, whereas if you're going to bed at a decent hour, you're going to bed at a normal time, you stop eating at a certain time too, because you don't want indigestion. You don't want to be going to bed and having heartburn or, you know, eating what you ate before you went to bed. Or, you know, someone said to me, you get nightmares if you eat cheese before you go to bed. I don't know if it's true because I'm lactose intolerant, so I don't eat cheese. But have you ever heard that before?
I have not. I experienced that. So
really?
Yeah.
I don't know who it was that said to me. It was someone on here who said, like, avoid cheese before you go to bed because it's actually really, it does something as it's breaking down in your body. It affects your brain and it gives you nightmares.
I will say it does. It does affect you before bed. I don't know about the nightmare part, but it isn't really good to have before bed because I heard it can keep you up at night. So
it can keep you. Well, that's a nightmare.
Maybe for certain people, for certain people that it'll do it.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Just stay away from cheese. But like I said, I'm lactose intolerant, so it doesn't matter to me. But I know that there are other things too. Like now I find if I don't burn off enough energy, so I study as well as working. So I have a pretty good balance at the moment, but I don't have enough energy to do a workout. And you were talking about endorphins, and I'd like some of those.
Endorphins, that's where it's at.
Is that a myth? Like, but is it a myth or is it real? Like, because I hear this a lot from people, but I just wonder, is that just a way to get people to sign up to your gym stuff? Or, you know, like,
that must sound like the
craziest question you've ever been asked, but
no, it's all good.
For someone who isn't used to it, tell me.
Yeah, you would think so. Honestly, you know, it sounds like it's too good to be true, and it does sound like it's one of those things that, you know, it's like a magical type thing that doesn't exist. But
it really does sound like a fairy tale.
it does. It really does. But when you actually go all in and actually work out and get your blood pumping and just everything going in your body, you definitely do release endorphins. Like I've experienced it firsthand. I've seen clients myself feel so much better after, you know, after they get into their workout, and especially after they're done with their workout. Like I've gone from, you know, going into the gym, like on some of my days I was pissed. I'll just be honest. Yeah. I was pissed off and I started working out. So I felt better. And then when I got done with my workout, I felt like 10 times better at least from before I was going in. It's crazy. It just does something in your body. And it's the blood flow. It's just releasing that stress from, you know, the weightlifting, and also just getting your mind off of whatever you were focusing on to you. That's another
factor. Okay. Yeah. Cause I was going to say, like, I've gone for a walk and I've done 30 minutes of walking because the doctor was like, you need to walk. So, and that's how that's what I feel. I can sort of do that because I can stop and go again and stop and go again. But I don't recall feeling any of that.
Yeah.
So is it just not enough?
So, pretty much what you just said, it's really, walking can produce like some endorphins, I would say,
some,
but for the most part, it's through more intense workouts.
It's so intense.
It could
workout.
Be right. Could be weightlifting, or it could be, you know, running. Just
yeah. Okay.
Not to say that walking doesn't help, or, you know, have its place, and that it can't help.
You have to start somewhere. Yeah.
But yeah, but definitely I would say if you can, more intense workouts, like at least some weightlifting, maybe circuit training, if going from one workout to the next with minimal rest,
yeah,
stuff like that. Yeah, yeah. And some,
I tried that once too. I have tried that before. Do you have F45 over there yet? Did it start there or did it start here? I'm not sure.
I'm trying to remember where it did start, but I do know. I do believe we have it.
You know of it? Yeah. So I did that one time and I just about died. It's about 3 years. It was right before COVID actually. And I went with a friend and I literally said to her, like, give me a piece of paper. I'm going to tell you, do not resuscitate me.
That's funny.
I was not in a good way. And the worst part of that was, I guess, lactic acid. There were a few things that came into it. So what are you telling your clients who, look, I've looked at some of your previous clients, and you've said that you had some people who were quite heavy and they've made some amazing changes. How do I get past that first day? Because I can do that. I can do one day at the gym. I can do that every week. But it's always only ever going to be one day, and one day isn't enough. So how do I get past that?
Yeah, just from working out one day a week, I would say your best.
Well, no. As in, like, I go one day and I'm dead the next day, so I'm not going back. So it's not till all that muscle ache and pain and everything.
Oh, but how do you overcome that soreness?
Yeah, like,
okay.
So do you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to go back again the next day, but obviously to make any difference, you have to do it regularly, right?
Yes. That's a perfect question. So what you want to do is, obviously, when you're really new to fitness, you're bound to get sore a lot quicker and a lot easier, knowing from personal experience and having a lot of clients that have done that. Mm. I will say this, though, your best bet and the best thing to do is to allow yourself, you know, a rest day between when you worked out and when you work out again, unless, you know, you do a... You know, 4 day split, you could do upper, lower, Monday, Tuesday, then Wednesday could be your rest day. And then let's say you do upper body Thursday and lower body Friday. So that's one way you could do it. Or what I really recommend, though, is if you're new to fitness and you're very, you know, not experienced, I would recommend just 3 days a week at the most. And then I would say like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, doing like full body. Stuff like that.
Okay. And then take the weekend off.
Yeah.
To suffer.
Oh, yeah. And also, too, another really cool thing you can take to help with that muscle soreness and just overall recovery in your body is taking BCAAs. So
I don't know what that is. I don't have a pen to write down either.
Yeah.
I'll have to listen back again.
Branched chain amino acids. So those are really great for just really overcoming that muscle fatigue and soreness. What is it?
Like a supplement or?
Yeah, it's basically a supplement you can take in the form, usually in powder form. And that's the best way to get it, because that really will enter your bloodstream a lot easier.
So you put that, like, do you put it in a smoothie or?
You could. I usually would just recommend just straight water. But if you want to put in a smoothie, that's cool to you.
Yeah. Okay. So just in the water, drink it, all good.
Oh, yeah.
So it helps. It helps with that. Because that was my problem, where I was happy to go and I knew I wanted to go. I mean, they just about killed me. I won't lie that it was, it was intense. For those who don't know, that F45 is high intensity interval training, and it's literally 60 minutes where you walk in the door and they give you like a 30 second explanation of what it is you're doing at each of the stations, and then they tell you to branch off, like you just break off and go to the stations where the, and then the music pumps and that's it. You don't hear anything else. There's no talking because you can't hear anything anyway, and it literally is like a circuit of different things inside their gym, and it does not stop for 60 minutes.
Oh yeah.
So my first time in many years going back to the gym, deciding that I was going to go do this, they invited me. They said, come for free. And I said, okay, I'll come and I'll do a free workout. Didn't know that that was what was in my future. But, you know, I was thinking treadmills and stationary cycles and things like that, which I thought I probably may have benefited more from something like that, you know, because is it cardio that is supposed to help you shift weight?
Yes, definitely cardio is one of the key things. Now, not to say that cardio is, you know, essential to lose weight. Contrary to popular belief, it's actually not the number one thing you should go to.
Really?
Now, it is something you should still do to burn extra calories, but you want to prioritize your weightlifting or strength training over cardio then, and, you know, being in a caloric deficit, obviously, too, to lose that weight, and then having, you know, some cardio at the end of your weightlifting.
Can you just explain quickly about that caloric deficit? Because that's something I also struggle with. But I had that as a question from someone. How does that work?
Yeah, definitely. So what you want to do is you want to figure out your overall activity level and also how many calories you burn at rest. Basically, your basic metabolic rate, or BMR for, you know, the acronym. So you want to figure out how many calories you're burning at rest and your activity level. When you put those together and you do the math with that, you'll come up with your TDEE, and that's your total daily energy expenditure. That is, you know, how many calories about you're burning off each and every day throughout the week. From there, you want to have about usually about 500 calories below that, you know, TDEE. And you want to do that every day for about 7 days a week. And that'll lead to about a, you know, 3,500 caloric deficit weekly. And that should net you about a 1 pound weight loss each week.
A week. So if you are burning 2,300 calories a day, you should be eating 1,800 calories.
Yeah.
Average.
Yeah. You should be having about 1,800 calories. If you're burning off 2,300.
So how would you say someone should do that? Because that's the other thing that I think a lot of people fail with like weight loss in particular, when you have to count calories.
Yeah.
I know that there are things, you know, there are things out there that you can buy that are calorie controlled. You know, they're already counted for you. I think Weight Watchers does that, where everything has a weight assigned to it, or has a calorie weight, a calorie value assigned to it. Is that the only way to do it?
So, you know, counting calories is definitely a way to do it. What I recommend doing, and what I personally find that's even better, is counting your macros. So counting your macros, and then you can also include your overall calories from those said macros. And just in case you're not sure what macros are proteins, fats, and carbs, which make up your overall, you know, calories in your day.
Yep.
So
anyone
having
familiar
enough
with keto would know that.
Oh yeah, definitely. So you know, anytime you're trying to figure out your caloric intake, you want to figure out how much protein you need, and then fats, and then your carbs. And then after you figure that out, you can just hit the macros and then basically just make sure your foods that you're having, you know, fit your macros. And then from there, that'll equal up to your calories.
And it sounds like a healthier, because I've become familiar with keto, and it sounds like a healthier way than just counting calories, because like you said, you need to know what protein you need, where it's not just your overall calories. You do need to have a balanced diet of protein, fats, you know, whatever. So macros. Okay.
Definitely. Because if someone's just stuck in counting their calories, they could be taking in less protein than they really need,
or
too much, or too many, you know, carbs, or too much fat, just depending, or too little, just depending on how you're eating your calories.
Exactly. And so when someone comes to see you, is that something you help with?
Definitely. So what's really cool is, other than, of course, the customized, you know, fitness programs, whether they're trying to lose weight or gain muscle, what's also really cool is I put together a meal plan specifically for them to help them, whether they're trying to gain muscle or burn fat.
Yeah. So actually it's like a complete program. That's what you're creating.
Oh yeah, definitely.
For people when they come to see you. I want people, if they're interested, do they just see you in person, or are you doing virtual consultations with people, or?
Yeah. So I'm doing virtual consultations and, just figuring out what their goals are and what they're wanting to do,
yeah,
what they've all tried and what's, you know, holding them back and what they want to achieve, ultimately.
I guess too, it's important if you're listening to this, and obviously if you want to go and speak to Roman, I encourage you to do that. You can go to, I forgot now, it's romanfisherofficial.com. It's in the show notes, but you'll see the people there. And I mean, it was inspirational just to see some of the changes that the people have made. You can tell that it's the same person. You can see that they're not like the TV commercials where they're sucking it in and
holding it in
for the, you know, you can tell that that's not the case with your website. And also, like, even your own transition is pretty amazing. Like, just your before and after picture, you gained so much, but you look so much better. Isn't that
yeah?
That seems really stupid to say that to someone. You looked fine before. Like, you didn't, there was nothing wrong with how you looked before physically. You know, I'm digging myself a hole, but you know, like, you looked fine before, Roman, but you can see that transition that you made. Like, I see a difference.
Yeah.
And it does look better. Isn't that strange to say that to someone? I think that's strange to say.
I know what you're saying though.
you get it though, right? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, in closing, I guess, people have to be aware that this is not just a matter of going to someone. There's no switch that needs to be flicked. There's no magic pill that you can take. It is it's a cold, hard look at yourself. From outside, you need to look at yourself, and you are going to have to face some demons, maybe, you know. Yeah. I'm a fat person. I call myself a fat person. I am fat. I'm overweight. I'm completely aware of that. I have come to accept that is what I am right now. I don't want to be that. Never wanted to be that. Should never have become that. There's nothing wrong if you are happy being fat and that is what you want to do. I can't tell you that you have to change. Of course, there is like the importance of living longer and being there for your family and your children and your friends and, you know, being healthier in general, like we've talked about. What were some of the challenges that you personally faced when you were transitioning from your old habits? Because you said you weren't healthy. You were skinny, but you weren't healthy. So what were those challenges when you transitioned from the old habits to your healthier lifestyle? And what was like one of the main things that you did to overcome your bullshit that you were leaving behind?
Yeah, great question, honestly. So what I was always struggling with right before and even right during my transition was, honestly, like we were saying, sugar addiction. I was heavily, and I mean heavily addicted to sugar. Like, wow. I would literally eat a whole box of Twizzlers or a whole bag of Twizzlers. Not even joking, like the whole bag. I would just suck it up in like one sitting to you.
They're so easy to eat, though.
Oh yeah. And then Sour Patch Kids, I would just load my face with those, like one after another, like it was nothing. So that was a huge problem for me. I would always drink Gatorade with a lot of the sugar that was in that too. So that wasn't really good. And it was
on top of your Twizzlers.
Yeah, on top of my Twizzlers, I would, you know, have a lot of Cheez-Its too. So then the sodium addiction comes into play with the Slim Jim. I would literally put the Slim Jim in between the, you know, Cheez-Its. Not trying to make anyone hungry.
Now
for
a Slim Jim,
but
that's like that's a salami stick, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a beef salami type stick. But having all that
loaded
together,
with salt.
Loaded with salt, like salt after salt. So too much sodium. But that was my biggest issue, I would say. It's just like the food addiction because my body was so used to having that, and it was craving that because that's what it was conditioned to you and used to, you know, ingesting and taking in day after day. So what I did though to overcome that and to finally just leave that, you know, that danger zone, because that was a danger zone. So what got me to finally leave that and abandon that for good was just taking it one step at a time, like realizing that I wasn't going to just completely get rid of this, but knowing that there was, you know, or there is a way to get off of this. I just have to wean myself off of it.
Yeah.
Because another thing too that I, you know, was struggling with was being on a bunch of prescription medication. So my unhealthy eating did not help. And all that was a vicious cycle, because a lot of the unhealthy foods that they pump into our, you know, foods here, especially in America, they lead to people, you know, having, you know, ADHD disorders with the artificial colors and flavors.
Is that the artificial, the GMO stuff? Like,
Oh yeah. Stuff like that. And that's actually what kind of, you know, you could say it really affected my mental state and emotional state, because that just affects your health and your brain health.
Yeah, I've heard that, in your body.
So basically,
I have heard that those things, they affect your the chemical balance in your, like, in particular, like the GMOs and, you know, like we were saying, the E colors and flavors and things like that, like they're not natural.
Oh yeah. FDNC. So
of course it's affecting your chemical stuff.
It's crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
So all the stuff that's illegal here. Yeah. So just getting off all that for good.
Yeah.
That I just felt so much better. I got off medications, and then what I did though is I weaned myself off the medications when I started eating healthier. Yeah. But also what helped me eat healthier, you know, permanently, was just weaning myself off of the bad foods too. So all that in conjunction. Yeah. And what's cool too is now I don't really ever have a cheat day. Like, it's crazy. Huh? I don't even know what a cheat day is. Not saying that you don't, you know, have to do that, like, not saying you have to do that or you can't have a cheat day, because you can, you definitely can, but if you can cut it all out, I would even say that's even better. Like, a mentor that I actually had before I got, actually right as I was getting into fitness, I had a pretty good mentor. He would work out a lot. He told me himself that the best thing you can do is cut the stuff out of your diet, like, for good. Cut all the sugars out, and just the best thing to do is not even have a cheat day. Like, that's what he told me. I'm like, all right, I gotta listen to this guy.
And it's probably about like creating a new addiction, maybe, I guess. Like,
yes,
to the good stuff.
Oh yeah. So replacing that unhealthy addiction of, you know, being addicted to the couch and just playing video games all the time, which that's what I used to do. I still love video games. I play them every now and then, but I was always that couch potato. He was just glued to that, you know, couch, glued to the screen with my eyes. And then I always ate very unhealthy. So having that new addiction and replacing that and having a healthy addiction versus the unhealthy addiction, that did that's it for me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Exactly. That sounds good. I like that. Roman, thank you. This has been great. Like, I think I needed it today too. Like, I've just been feeling really not motivated, and you know, you've talked about all your different things, how you've sort of come to be where you are now. And I'm amazed actually that you were as skinny as you were with eating all that shit you just said you were eating.
Yeah.
All I have to do is look at a Twizzler and I put on a pound. I like to close it off and to finish off, how do you envision your work with Roman Fisher Fitness contributing to a large transformation in the world of health and wellness?
Yeah, definitely. So I see it as just very accessible for anyone that wants to have a, you know, better lifestyle, healthier lifestyle. And no matter your fitness goals, even the smallest or biggest of fitness goals, I'm definitely there to help anyone out, you know, through thick and thin, from the very start to the very end. And honestly, I don't really see there being a finish line though, because you can always have new goals and you can always improve and always get better.
That's great, actually. I like that. You can always get better and you can always do more. It doesn't have to end. Like, I know that we all set these goals and we think that that's the end of everything. You know, I've set the goal. I want to lose 40 pounds. Okay. But once I've hit 40 pounds, what am I going to do then? I need to set some new goals. So that's what's good about having a mentor, having somebody who's there to say, hey, I've got you. Let's just work on 2 pounds this week.
Yeah.
You know, we'll get the 2 pounds off you first and let's help you get off all of the other stuff. And like I said before, it's definitely a matter of inwardly looking at yourself.
100%.
You need to take a look inside and see what is motivating you to do the things that you're doing to yourself. And what do you want to change? Why do you want to change it?
Oh, yeah.
If you don't understand the why, you can't do the how.
That's it. You said it all right there. That's what I love telling a lot of people too, is just you have to, you know, figure out why you're doing whatever you're doing before you can finally get to, you know, the blueprint of how to, you know, finally get there.
Yeah. And if there's one thing I learned, everybody, the worst reason to be doing it is for somebody else.
Yes.
I cannot tell you how many times I've spoken to other people and never once, if you listen to Utterly Unscripted regularly and you've heard me talk to other people, nutrition people, health people, fitness people, none of them say to do it because someone told you to do it or because someone told you that you should do it or because you're trying to make somebody happy. Because I tell you right now, it is a recipe for disaster. It is one true way to make sure you fail at what you're doing. If you're not doing it for you, you're not doing it for the right reason.
Oh yeah. You have to want it more for yourself than anyone wants it for you.
At the end of the day, you have to live with yourself. Like, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, if you've got a partner who's telling you that you're fat and you need to lose weight, you need to get rid of the partner. And there you've just shed yourself 130 pounds. And
there's a lot of truth to that.
You've just lost your first 130 pounds. That's the best thing ever.
I like that. Very clever. Well,
but it's, you know, that's what I have learned talking to people like yourself. And, you know, I've had quite a few people and everybody has something different. And I like that because someone will always take things differently. They'll, you know, they gel with a certain guest, maybe more than another guest, or they'll just hear something that you've said. Everybody seems to have a very similar way of saying different things that need to be done. But definitely on this show, if you are not hearing that is not the way to do it, then you're not listening. Do it for
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Yes.
It's the best thing. Roman Fisher, thank you for being here. I'm scrolling back up.
No, you're
it
good.
Is in the show notes, everybody. Have a look there. But Roman Fisher Fitness, the official website is Roman Fisher. That's FISCHER official.com. You're also on socials and stuff like that. And I think the links are on your website.
Yes.
Is that right? Yeah. Okay, good. Yep. Excellent. Roman, it has been such a pleasure speaking with you. I thank you so much for taking the time to join us. And I hope that you'll get some of our listeners making those choices to make a difference and make a change.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you so much, Roman. Thanks everybody for listening. I hope that you've enjoyed this episode of Utterly Unscripted. I've got some more coming. I've got people coming. I'm back now. I took a break and I'm back. So look forward to seeing you again, Roman, and you can admire how much weight I've lost.
Oh yeah.
Thanks everyone for listening. Thanks, Roman.
Yeah, thank you very much.